Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh my gosh, we did a proper intro and everything. That's what you get on the SmackDown post show of the new era, okay?
The new era. I don't know if you guys heard yet, but this is the new era.
I'm hoping it's a new era for my internet. It's been more hits than misses of late, so we will take it. But guys, this is your SmackDown post show. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Friday, last day of May, May 31st. We thank you so much for being here. Get in your super chats and your humper chats at humperchats.com. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Pretty, pretty please. It would be so nice of you. And also, a quick reminder to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It's been hopping over there. If you're into contract news, boy, do we have the site for you. There has been so much going on FightfulSelect.com. News about Ricochet's contract, news about Chad Gable's contract, news about Dijak's contract, news about Natalia's contract, I'm assuming some of these free agents are going to jump from place to place. We saw Ethan Page, who was wildly underutilized in AEW, jump to NXT, which I think is super exciting. So we were talking about it before. I feel like this is a big retention year. I didn't even mention Becky Lynch's name. That's how many contracts we have going on right now. Feels kind of like she might be taking a breather overall, but I have a tremendous amount of intrigue in this because I feel like we're going to see people from AEW's contracts wind up and I don't know where they go. I don't know if they go to WWE. I don't know if it's a huge assumption that anybody switches from WWE that we just mentioned. I don't know if it's assumed that they go to AEW. But there's been a lot of chatter between Will Ospreay and Ricochet. That is for sure. They have an incredible independent match that you can go watch online for free, which is just insane that you can watch that match for free to me. But before we dive in, I want to know your thoughts. Is there anybody that you want to see that I just mentioned come over? I think Becky Lynch is obviously the big one, but like, I'm intrigued to see what Dijak could do. I'd be very intrigued to see Chad Gable versus Bryan Danielson. There's a lot of possibilities here. Where are you at with the free agents that we mentioned?
You know, it's crazy because we haven't had this, the amount of uncertainty of where people can go. And the reason being is because we do have the ability for these wrestlers to get paid high money like they are at WWE and continue moving on. So I'm at odds. I don't know where anyone would land, if anyone. And I told you this before we got on the show. I was like, sometimes people are comfortable and sometimes comfort is okay. And if that's where you want to stay and that's what you want to do because it's an easy check coming in, regardless of what you're doing, that's fine. But if you want to break out and do something else, that's great too, because it's there. So Ricochet, you just opened up my eyes to, because I in my head, I was thinking he's a surefire person who's going to just resign. You know what I'm saying? And stay with the team. But
he's an interesting one because I feel like he's, out of anybody I mentioned, like, other than the fact that Dijak hasn't been on television, but seems to be trending every day on Twitter just from ratioing people and being hilarious. I don't know why you're not putting a man who is 6'8" and can do moonsaults off the top of a cage, why you call him up with no plan, and why you're not trying to re-sign that guy. He has been one of the most valuable pieces of NXT. I have a huge love for Dijak, but I feel like if anybody that's been super underutilized, you look at Ricochet's career, and that guy's a human superhero. And I think it's going to be an interesting one because I feel like there could be a legitimate play. I also feel like Ricochet in a tag team could be really fun in AEW, breathe some life into that tag division, because I'm loving this umbrella story that we have with the Bucks and the Elite, but that tag division still feels stuck in the mud. That tournament did nothing for that tag division. So I am intrigued to see where everybody lines up. If you're not a weird tribalist, this is fun as hell. I think it's awesome.
Weird tribalist indeed.
Look, I like when wrestlers get to eat. I'll just put it that way. It makes me happy. And the other nice thing is it rejuvenates, I'm hoping, New Japan, who is in desperate need of some stars, picking up some people. The indies will get rejuvenated out of this. Look at, I always point to Mansoor and Mason, like what they've been able to do, and they're going to Uganda. It's crazy. So
it's fun.
I'm very intrigued. It is fun. It is fun.
I've been saying
it
to everyone. This is fun. This is great. Like, this is what you should want. You want companies to prosper. I love TNA. I've been, you know, it was such a great company to watch in the mid-2000s when WWE just wasn't doing it for me at certain points. And even though they never really got that ginormous contract to be on a giant network or whatever the case may be, they're still around, which is great, you know. But then you have someone like an AEW come in, and understandably so, they do have money, right? Yes. Unlimited, quote unquote, because that's not real. But, you know, but yeah, man, I think it's a good time to be a pro wrestler. That's for sure.
Good time to be a pro wrestler. Good time to be a pro wrestling fan, for sure. We also saw Jordan Grace showing up on NXT. So you shouting out TNA will be interesting to see if that working relationship continues to flourish. But Ricardo chiming in saying, at work, but I love you all. Great bangs, Kate. Well, thank you so much. Always appreciate that. There's a lot of chats about the retirement angle, which we are going to get to in a little bit, but we've got a whole lot of show to review ahead of that. Get in those super chats and humper chats. A lot more of you watching now than when I prompted that at the very beginning of the show. And we thank you for spending your Friday night with us. But we start with Nia Jax's coronation. We get Nick Aldis congratulating Nia here. She basically just says that she's the queen. She's going to get her shot at SummerSlam. And so she calls Bayley out, who obliges. But she gets jumped by Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. Piper just tossing her into the barricades, getting her in the ring, a nice low crossbody, and that all to kind of stare down Nia. And Chelsea says that Nia's not going to have to worry about Bayley because by the time SummerSlam rolls around, Piper Niven will be the champion. And what I love out of this, and Nia basically says she doesn't care. I'm coming for the title, not for a certain person. Mm-hmm. But this is awesome because this means Piper Niven's going to get a title shot at Clash at the Castle. We call it Clashel affectionately around these parts. So that helps me get less tongue tied with the Clashel, but very cool. Very cool that Piper Niven, who wasn't really utilized in the on and off Vince era when he was in and out of creative, had been doing this fun work with Chelsea, getting to have a title match in Scotland, that's just so special. I love when we get creative that supports decisions like that. And I feel like we should make those moments if there's available. There's no reason that Piper Niven can't face Bayley at this pay-per-view. Right. So, the segment was what it was. The beatdown trope is wearing a little bit thin on me, in the same way that in AEW, I'm like, just one baby face that knows that people are going to be behind them just once, or just one angle that doesn't have a post-match beatdown on a go home. There's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of this play from this playbook rolling out, But it all made sense and was well executed. We watch a lot of wrestling when you do this job, and I've seen this trope about a million times in the past month or so. And I like what we got from this segment. What did you think?
I mean, like you just mentioned, I think for sure, if you see what Nia has done in the past and where she's at now, I'm excited for her. You know, I think this is her wheelhouse. This suits her. I think that her being the queen of the ring was the right choice. Just because she's a menacing force and they're finally playing her as a menacing force. Before, you thought she was like a tough person to beat in the ring, but there was just too many other little things happening around, you know, like the joking and whatever. She's there, man. And I feel like I don't think she'll win the title, but no. I think it's a good play to have someone of that stature and playing the quote unquote, I don't want to make it sound bad because you say big man, I don't want a big lady, right?
Yeah.
To, you know, to the smaller
strong
person.
Gal. Who she's strong gal.
Yeah, the strong gal. Yeah. I'm all about the strong gals. We know that here on Friday nights.
Hell yeah.
I'm all about getting choked. But yeah, so, you know, like, I hope that they continue this movement with her. I'm happy where she's at, basically.
I do too. My favorite part of the Queen of the Ring, I actually thought, so the Queen of the Ring match that happened at the PLE, I thought was one of the best matches that we've gotten from Nia and one of the best matches that we got from Lyra. Mm-hmm. It also seemed like Nia was genuinely very emotional after getting the win, which warmed my heart. I think my guess is you're probably looking at Bayley versus Nia at SummerSlam. Nia beats the hell out of her, but loses. And my guess is a Tiffany Stratton cash-in. That's the way I could see this playing out. Because we've had a lot of title shot devices in a row. We got Money in the Bank. Tiffy in the Bank seems like a no-brainer. Give that girl a pink briefcase. Use the Barbie font on the side of it if you must. And I say that you must. But that feels like a good way to go. We got a nice chat from Bad Robot, who's always so supportive of us, saying, hello, favorite post show. I really hope they build up Andrade. Him versus Cody is going to be so fun. With the TNA working relationship, fingers crossed that Joe Hendry shows up at Clash at the Clavicle. Love Clash at the Clavicle. Thank you for that. Like Joe Hendry is booked for another date. Now, it's an independent date, so he could pull out of it probably with little to no consequence. But I also think we have to be measured in what we consider a working relationship. Because Jordynne Grace showed up at the Rumble. She also showed up at NXT. It feels like that's indicative of more possibilities to come, but this could also be a one-off for all that we know. I'll tell you where you can find more information about that is FightfulSelect.com. Sean is on that beat hard this week. He also interviewed Jordynne Grace, or as she was labeled in the interview, the prohibited portal, because we have the forbidden door. You got to have the prohibited portal. Wow. And Jordynne Grace, she's always a great interview. Feel free to check that out as well. But some kind of paint by numbers for an opener here, but when it makes sense, the paint by numbers is a lot easier. Like I don't think anybody kind of looked too much worse for the wear. Bayley should maybe be street smart enough to know that people are coming after her, but she doesn't really have reason to suspect that Piper and Chelsea would, so I don't feel too uneasy about that. But we will move along here. We get another QR code. More things happening in Creepy World. I will try and recap all of it if we have time at the end. But I might do a separate thing on that entire play from beginning to end with the QR codes, including the Bray stuff, as a separate video, either here on my own YouTube channel. Because what's funny is it's largely not for me. But I always appreciate when an immense amount of creative effort has gone into something. And there's so much to it, you guys, that like trying to fit it in on these post shows is a little bit tricky. So maybe I'll chat at Sean about that. That could be a fun one. But we got a couple of quick backstages here, AJ, which we'll talk about in the main event. But Bayley also getting checked up on by a trainer after the beatdown. And Naomi kind of checks in on her here, which is nice. So we get their continued relationship. I don't know if there's a ton to say. This just kind of plays into the tag match later in the night.
I'm with you.
All right, then we'll move right along.
Moving along.
We got Tommaso Ciampa with Gargano out there and Austin Theory with Grayson Waller out there. And Theory and Waller kind of bickering, some dissension in this, which is good. I think this team, I don't love when we have tag title holders that split up, but I think this team needs to.
Yeah.
I just think that Austin Theory's never going to get out from under it. But at the end here, we have Theory and Waller bickering and Waller taking credit for Theory's career. Ciampa knocks them into each other in Schoolboys. I'm like, just good old fashioned.
Good old schoolboy, baby.
Yeah, and very like Mo Curley and Larry, right? Like this was perfectly fine. What's interesting is I feel like DIY should be the team to dethrone them. Kind of interested about the pacing of this because I assumed the big winning moment for DIY would be at SummerSlam because it's in Cleveland, hometown of Johnny Gargano. When Gargano came back, everybody thought it was going to be in Cleveland, and he said, psych, it's going to be in Toronto instead, which was such an incredible moment. I think people forget about that because so much chaos followed it, but it would be cool to now give them that moment. But maybe they walk into SummerSlam with the titles. That would be pretty all right for me. Cool spot in this was that reverse DDT from Tommaso Ciampa. I love that spot. He starts attacking the back of Theory's head, which is just such a logical follow-up. But Theory avoiding the fairy tale ending with some super kicks to the back of Ciampa's head and hitting that ataxia for a two count. That was just a nice little sequence in there. None of my complaints are ever with Austin Theory in the ring. My complaints are the U.S. title run was not good, and then they didn't really address the issues that we've continued to see. And pairing him with Grayson Waller, I felt like was working in the beginning, but now I feel like they've really kind of stalled the momentum. I feel like on both programs, our tag champions don't feel super important, or they don't feel like the tag championship has kind of any prestige to it, if that makes sense, because you have like this split up angle here and they got the goofballs on Monday night. So again, this is kind of, if Tommaso Ciampa is on my screen wrestling, I'm a happy gal, but this is a little bit more formulaic. This is how we see a lot of these feuds go. But nice to see Ciampa in the ring. I love watching the way that guy wrestles and tells stories, man.
Yeah, I've been saying it now for weeks about, you know, A-Town down and whatever you want to call
it. Under.
Yeah. Well, you know, like where they're going to go. And they're kind of doing this whole thing now where they kind of just like, you know, they'll do the series of matches, one-on-ones, then, you know, then get back into a tag team match and this and that with them. I wonder if they're going to be keeping the titles, like you just said, any longer. You know, throughout the summer. We do know that historically summers are always just a little bit harder on everything, especially, you know, with television. So I wonder if maybe they'll save that big pop, like you said, for SummerSlam, because that's the biggest party of the summer, if you guys didn't know. And I'm stealing all of their quotes. And so I'm hoping that perhaps maybe that's where they're headed. I wouldn't make the move. Personally, I wouldn't make the move right now. And I know that the run that these guys are on with the belts is lackluster, and you just mentioned it on both sides. It's just been boring. So I'm hoping that they have a quote-unquote Summer of Punk style feud going into SummerSlam.
I agree. It would be nice if there was a long-term story in play here. And I think that's what we might be getting at, especially because so many of these other PLEs are abroad, right? So I don't know if there's anything that you can capitalize on there.
Right.
You kind of already have my Tekker team. You've got Dunn and Bate already kind of, I feel like, maybe need to do some rebuilding to get there. But we'll see. We'll see. I am happy whenever I get to see Johnny Gargano on my screen and Tommaso Ciampa on my screen. That's a good evening for me. A good evening for me, for sure. Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. We got a lot more show left to talk about, but we are breezing through. I will say, a lot of good in-ring tonight. Some of the stories felt like, well, of course, this is the next thing that happened, but that's sometimes also the right call. Sometimes predictable wrestling is good wrestling, and I'll take it. But we've got Naomi finding Nick Aldis backstage, who's talking to Blair Davenport, and Blair storms off here. She's a little bit pissed off after getting interrupted. But Aldis says Naomi has her tag team match tonight, which is the last match of the evening, the main event segment, of course, being AJ Styles. There's an overarching obstacle of NXT talent getting called up and feeling important on the show. I think Blair Davenport, I can't keep up with all this contract news in my head, but I think Blair Davenport just negotiated her contract, so now she's here to stay. They have not done a good job with her. Like, she is... And by the way, since the draft, we also haven't seen, like, Shinsuke Nakamura or whatever. Like, but with the NXT call-ups, it continues to be kind of an obstacle. Blair Davenport rules. If you haven't seen her in action because you're not watching NXT or familiar with her work in Japan or on the UK indies or whatever, like, she has a lot to offer. The former B Priestley is excellent. I want them to go out of their way to make her feel like the force that she can be, because she has kind of that like strong girl ass kicker vibe, but she also has, it almost reminds me in a different way, but the demeanor of like a Samoa Joe, of like, she's just so, there's never anything that's going to upset her. There's never anything that she's unprepared for. There's never anything that, you're never going to get any like, oh my God, promos from her. Like, she's just cool, calm, and collected all the time. She's there to kick ass and take names. And I love that. I love that kind of wrestler being on my screen. So we could use a little bit more for Blair other than a weak vignette and her being pissed off here. Sure,
yeah.
I'm sure we'll get it. You have to sign people before you put them on television. So, but other than that, this is perfectly fine. This is just a setup for the tag match later.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on, are you familiar with Blair Davenport at all?
No, I'm not actually. And this is, again, this is, this happened many times where there was a bunch of wrestlers that you've brought up to me, and I just started doing my homework and obviously started learning a little bit more of who they are. So I'm not, and obviously I will catch up, you know, sure. I do. And I, from what everyone is writing and from what people are saying online, I can't wait to see what they do in the ring. So,
sure. And it's also not your, almost my point is like, you shouldn't have to go out of your way to do that research. They should tell you who this person is. So I hope we get to that sooner than later. But we've got the wonderful Taylor Cannon, who's always so wonderful to us and supportive, saying hello to some of my favorite people. Well, you're one of my favorite people, Taylor. Hope you guys had a great Friday and an awesome weekend. Look,
still Friday, baby.
It is still Friday. I had a sore Friday because I've been getting back to the gym. I had COVID like 900 times. I had some lung repair to do. I had to like work my stamina up a little bit. Yesterday was like the first day in full force. And I'll tell you, I don't want to be one of those people that tweets about how hard leg day is, but I was a sore. I was walking like a grandmother today, Alex. I was hurting. But get yourself straighters.
They know what grandmothers out there, by the way. She doesn't mean it in a bad way.
No, it's no offense to you. I just, it's very similar. Very similar of just like making sounds when I get up. Like I'm already making those sounds because I'm getting older, but man, like
I do that too. I do that on the regular.
I mow the lawn. You have your home gym. You're like good to go.
Let's not throw that out there.
Look,
I still gotta work out and make it upstairs.
It's true. Okay? DNC Digital saying if you want a sore Friday,
hey,
far be it from me to deny a perfect blue chew setup, okay? I'm not the kind of gal who has such a big ego that she needs to take credit for perfect blue chew setups. But depending on how your ego is, you might need a little bit of help supporting it. And darn it, bluechew.com.
Confidence, performance, better sex. That's bluechew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Blue Chew's here to help you. Sometimes you don't want to admit you need help, but you need a little bit of help. Sometimes you just want that extra confidence boost. That's what Blue Chew provides. Take an online consultation, And if approved, you're going to have a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis that will help you perform whenever you're ready, or maybe whenever you're not ready and you just want to be ready. No awkward doctor's visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew ships straight to your door. Use that promo code FIGHTFUL, get your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com/FIGHTFUL. Get that confidence. Get that performance. Get that main event edge.
Tell you what, I didn't feel like you were attacking me in that one.
That's because, yeah, I left it to Sean. I left it to Sean to do, so.
Yeah.
That's what we do around here. I'm not making personal attacks on anyone, despite
not today, everyone. I am sore on my own.
Oh man, guys, we got a lot more show to come about. We had a blockbuster main event to get into. I think most of us didn't buy it for a second because we know what happens when someone's retiring in pastel suits. We know what that looks like, Mark Henry.
Yeah,
we've see Mark Henry's out here like, my time is up in AEW. I'm good. He's already a retirement consultant, a fake retirement consultant here in WWE. That's what I think.
He's the RCO, Retirement Commission Officer. He just perfect. Made that title at perfect. WWE.
RCO. Yeah. RCO. RCO.
I want to see him come out and move like that, too.
He should Mark Henry doing the Mercedes Moné CEO dance.
What was his old song? Oh, shoot. He's been out of WWE.
Somebody's going to get their ass kicked. Yeah.
Somebody's going to get the ass kicked. Somebody's going to get the ass kicked. Yeah, that's what I want to see.
It is taking over the nation now. And the world. Shota Umino was out there doing the CEO dance.
Should not be going that far. But it's going.
We cut it off at Mark Henry. We cut it off.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, Alexis, it's that time of the night where everybody's saying L.A. Knight, who walks in and asks if AJ is really retiring. Also, the first clue. Also, the
He's
not retiring.
He gave it up right there, by the way.
Wrestler in kayfabe asking about it, but.
Oh, God.
Nicely sold by Nick Aldis saying that nobody's really sure about that. And Knight asks where Logan Paul is. And Aldis invites him to sit and talk. And then after commercial break, we have him leaving the office and he runs into Kayla, who says Logan Paul is not there, but Knight is there. And if he can get an answer, he would like to force the issue and challenge Logan Paul for the U.S. title. And then walks Carmelo Hayes, who asks why L.A. Knight would want to face Logan Paul. And L.A. Knight kind of calls him out for the botch that happened. Yeah. And Hayes says if Logan wants to talk, then he'll work Knight. But if he wants to walk, Hayes is him. So, LA Knight doing what he does best in a minimal time on screen. He just a wonderful, wonderful, use of minutes. Like that guy, you give him 2 minutes, he's going to make it the best 2 minutes that he possibly can every time. And I appreciate that about him. Carmelo Hayes, we were talking about the NXT comps being a little sketch. He's someone that I feel like they've done a good job with because he has been hanging around important pictures, right? Like he fought Cody his first night there. He's fighting legends. Like this is good. I would like to see him in a full story now. Like we've gotten used to what he's able to do. We know he's important because they told us. So if this with LA Knight is going to have a little bit of juice to it, that's something that I'm interested in. Especially these were two guys that I saw in NXT as well. So I know what they're capable of, but any thoughts on this segment?
You know, I told you this as well. Now the last couple of weeks is this trend that we're seeing Carmelo kind of like, you know, in this grayish line of like he started out so gung-ho when he first came in and everyone loves him and he's happy. Look at him. And he's kind of now showing you his true colors. And I like it. I like it. He's stepping up to big dudes. He's like letting them know what's up. He's taunting them in a sort of way with certain things that he says and his demeanor and how he comes up to the person. So I see what they're trying to do with him. I hope that it pays off. I don't want to see him kind of hang around like an LA Knight in that middle realm. because that's where LA Knight has been since he joined the company. And Carmelo just, you know, just being, because WWE is known for their size, right? They're men being bigger, women, whatever. So I hope that he just doesn't get boxed in because of, you know, his style and his, I know NXT is one way, but being on Raw and SmackDown, you have different people working on there, you know? So I am enjoying it though. I'm enjoying this Carmelo.
Yeah, he's great. And he, I feel like we're getting away from that now in the new era a little bit. Like you're seeing smaller guys.
Yes.
Chad Gable, who was
Shorty G,
like actively involved in the IC title picture, right? So we are seeing them break away from that. Dragunov getting called up and mostly made to feel important. So I think that's a good sign. And Carmelo Hayes, I think, is someone there, like
next
to a future WrestleMania main eventer, because he gives you that Shawn Michaels feel a little bit in a modernized his own way, which I think is good. I think it's good. He's got a very high ceiling, and I'm looking forward to seeing him reach it. Guys, chats and Humper Chats, we are continuing along. My cousin's here.
Hey, cuz.
He's not my second favorite. They're all tied for first. I have a lot of them, but.
You're my favorite. You're not tied for second in my life.
Oh, thanks, bestie.
I got you.
Well, this match confused the heck out of me, but I didn't hate it. We got Andrade, who is in the speed championship bracket against
Carl Anderson. I don't know what is happening there.
I don't know what the speed championship is. Ricochet's not allowed to have it on television, but maybe that's what it is. So, like, Ricochet's contract is coming up. We can't have him on TV with the prestigious speed title, but we get Andrade versus Apollo Crews. Which is great. Apollo Crews has been kicking around for a while with not a lot to do. I assumed this was going to be a squash, but it wasn't. It got seven minutes. They both looked really good. Andrade is very cool and very badass, and I'm glad that they are letting him do things now. But he wins with a like monstrous spinning back elbow and that butterfly neck breaker for the pin and the win, baby. Angel Garza notably at ringside to cause some distraction. I was glad it didn't factor into the finish. Like, I don't want that part of the story to be alive yet, but was clearly sent by Santos Escobar. But this was good. I was pleasantly surprised it got time. I hope they start to utilize guys like Apollo Crews, and Odyssey Joan has just been on the side of a milk carton for the past year and a half. Like that guy got called up in last year's draft and never made an appearance. So, and he's awesome. Like that guy should be on TV. So good to see this. What did you think of this match? I was surprised by the time it got.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I hope that they're not kind of just like pulling the Hispanics and the Latinos all together, like, you know, traditional pro wrestling does on across the board. I want Santos to thrive so badly, and I've been singing his praises for so long. And there was a point where Santos was trending that way, and it's just flattened out completely. And I hope that with the inclusion of, you know, of having Andrade now join the company, it maybe spark something. I don't know. It's just, it's been a little dead, and I want more.
It is a little stagnant. I will say, I also feel like we just got out of this overly extended feud of like Latinos versus Latinos.
Yeah.
However, Santos Escobar versus Andrade, I want to see it. And I feel like I wouldn't be complaining about that if we didn't just get out of this.
Correct.
This, but you're right in that Santos should probably be in a title picture. Him being a solidified heel, and my assumption is that LA Knight beats Logan Paul, that'd be a really fun challenge because they already planted the seeds for that. You can come back around and let those seeds grow. So I think that could be really cool. I think that could be really cool.
Yeah. Andrade is another one that, for me, he's boxed in as well. He's another one that has always just kind of been there in that specific like mid-title range. And
literally at both companies. Like, I don't understand. That guy is incredible, and neither company has figured out how to use him.
Sure.
I'm with you. I would like to see Andrade get a significant push because he's excellent. He's a really great pro wrestler. But we get a post-match with Santos Escobar, your boy, and the rest of Legado is there, and Andrade walks by, and Angel is also there, and he's happy for some reason when he should not be. Santos gives him a death stare, and he, like, goes off and tries to fix things, but after that, we find Andrade in the back, and Angel shows up and asks what happened, but Apollo attacks Angel for messing up his match. So some fun dissension there. And I really like, I said Apollo, I meant Andrade. This was good. This was good stuff. At least they're moving this story along. I think it could use some juice. I'm interested to see if Andrade gets some backup.
Yeah. I don't know who. Like, I don't know.
Trying to think if there's anybody from NXT.
I'm completely blanking out on what type of backup he would have, or if Legado just falls apart and people just start turning their backs on each other.
You could have Santos doing a good old "what have you done for me lately" kind of thing.
Sure.
You could also have Andrade, assuming that not everybody needs to be Latino to be in a faction. Andrade and Gallus from NXT could be very, very fun. That would be a terrifying, terrifying stable. Hmm. Could be cool. Like,
even when they tried the stable thing in AEW, it didn't fare well either. I don't know. Maybe he's just probably not meant to be. I don't know.
In AEW, they tried to go back to their long-running stable with Los Ingobernables, but it seemed like someone was injured. Like, somebody was injured, and it never really took off from those injuries, which is a bummer. But we'll see. We'll see what is to come for Andrade and Santos Escobar. Those are matches I very much want to see. I'm looking forward to those for sure. So we get Paul Heyman, who's backstage with the New Bloodline, and he says that Solo has a lot of violence around him, as I have a lot of violence around my light from my dog here. Sorry about that. but he said there's no method to the madness, which I really like from him. And he said that Cody Rhodes needs to be put in his place when Roman is back, which was interesting. And Solo says, "We already have that, and he doesn't even know." And I was like, "You're not even telling the wise man, Solo, you monster." Which was fun. And then Kevin Owens interrupts things, which is one of my favorite things. Kevin Owens interrupting things and making segments all the better is fantastic to me. And Solo tells Heyman to go fix that, which I thought was cute. So then we get Owens saying that he has had Randy's back and that he was going to make sure that Solo didn't ruin things for his King of the Ring match. Yep. And that Randy isn't here tonight, but Solo is. So, of course, Kevin Owens is here as well. Heyman does his shtick and introduces himself. And he plays these little games and ultimately just devolves into madness about the fact that nobody will listen to him. And he's lost control of the group. And it ruled so hard. I adored this. You have him basically wanting to talk to Kevin Owens man to man, professional to professional, father to father, which is always a nice heartstring thing. And he says that Solo has been recruiting criminals. This is not like the Usos who has respected him. And Owens says, "I've been fighting the Bloodline for 4 years," which I love that they are evolving that piece of things. They've done everything to him. Chair shots, tossed him from the highest places imaginable. All of the super kicks a man could ever need. And he got run over by a damn golf cart. But those were men that he respected with Roman and the Usos. And now Solo and a couple guys that nobody wants here are here to fight. And he said, "That's not going to stop Kevin Owens." And then Paul Heyman just has this absolutely incredible meltdown. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than a meltdown. It was hysterical. I put out like a "how's everybody feeling about SmackDown" tweet, And Alex Pawlowski immediately responded with, like, I like Paul Heyman's impression of me. And it was kind of like an Alex Pawlowski meltdown. Yeah. I liked it. But you got Solo then showing up with his goons, but the Street Profits behind Kevin Owens to even the odds. Now, this might be a bridge too far for me. I feel like the Street Profits, no mention of Bobby Lashley. I don't know why they really have a hatred. I know why they have a hatred to the Bloodline, kind of. But them showing up to back up Kevin Owens felt like...
Yeah.
Like, now we're just... This is a lot of, as we used to call it in the AEW days, gang wars. Yeah. A bit much here. But I'm not mad about it. And I'm not mad about the match that sets up. But the highlight of this was Paul Heyman just... He's been so much more serious and less cartoonish, and I loved that. But when the moment called for it, he delivered the extreme meltdown here. What did you think of this?
You know, I think that the whole situation right now with the Bloodline, it's kind of fixing itself with this team that they're putting together, just because it felt a little bit all over the place. It felt like Solo was just kind of just there, you know, as a figure. And I told you this before. I know that you mentioned that he has, you know, he has good promo skills and whatnot, but you're kind of seeing him really develop in this role.
Yeah, and I think so. A lot of people don't, but I love it.
Yeah, I'm starting to see him, and I'm starting to believe that he's a maniac. Yeah. And he does not give, excuse my language here, he does not give a shit, all right? Sorry, Mom, about anything that is going on around him with the Tribal Chief and with Paul Heyman.
Sure.
His goal right now is like, my goal right now is just to cause chaos. And you, Paul, you stand over there and you fix the shit whenever I mess it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I need help, you know? And I'm digging it, man. I'm digging it.
I agree with you. I think it's fun that he's resisting Paul Heyman's want to strategize and that he's just going about things his own way. That's a fun wrinkle in all of this for sure. Ricardo saying, hope SmackDown didn't suck. More love for Kate and Alexis. Well, thank you so much.
Love you. Thank you.
Didn't suck. It wasn't the most exciting in the world, but it also wasn't terrible. Will saying, I love how when Paul Heyman said, who's we... It let us breathe on. Us fans know the final boss. I can't do a good... The final boss! Not bad. Not fast. We do know
I honestly thought boss. Dwayne was in the room. That's why I had to look up. I'm like, what? Hell's Kate?
It doesn't matter who you think the final boss is. It's The Rock. I'm very intrigued to see how that all plays out. Like, him re-entering the picture and being away for a while is good. Roman being out for a while is good. Like, let this develop and let's reinsert the key figures that have been exhausted. Come back to this when things are refreshed. Really good call. Really, really good call. But that sets up our tag team match, the Guerrillas of Destiny. How about that?
Yeah.
A little New Japan action on here. Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa with Paul Heyman at their side. Against the Street Profits, who have B-Fab. This was pretty fun. It's always fun when you get to see the Street Profits in action, especially Montez Ford. You know, Tonga Loa is there to serve his purpose, and I think Tama Tonga is there to do most of the heavy lifting. But this ends with Dawkins hitting a sky high to Loa, and then Ford tagging in with the from the heavens, but Tonga is legal when Ford tries to pin Loa. So Tonga catches him with the flatliner to win this. Guerrillas of Destiny getting the win is not a surprise here, but it was a pretty well done match. Pretty well done match. Not mad about it. What did you think?
I'm with it. You know, Camacho did great. I think the whole which is what his old gimmick, wasn't it? Well, that's what they called him back in the day, Camacho. Am I making that up? Because I do
You're
remember
good.
Something about that.
You're good.
But I want a little bit. Am I wrong for this? Like, I want a little bit more violence out of Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga, or did I mess all that up? Like,
no,
all the TTs.
You're good.
Like, I want them to be meaner. Like, I feel like their reason for being brought in and the way that they're being hyped up, I want them to like really tear their opponents apart. You know, like the Street Profits had never had a single like moment of clarity. Yeah. You know, especially when it doesn't make sense that they just come out just because, you know, it's not like they've been in any feud. It's not like they've done anything to interrupt any of their matches. Right. They're just out there because they want some. OK, cool. So if you want some and you want to get involved with this, come get some and you beat the living crap out of them. That's just me.
That's fair.
I could be completely, you know, I could be completely wrong on there. But like you just mentioned, the inclusion of having the Street Profits out there just didn't kind of hit with me when I was just like, why? I just simply said, why? That was it. You know,
I think that's perfectly fair to think this match could have been produced in a way that lent itself to more violence from Guerrillas of Destiny to the Street Profits. It's such a fine line to walk because you also don't want to bury
of course not.
A team that feels vulnerable already. So I get it. But what you can do is go over to FightfulSelect.com when those SmackDown producers lists get uploaded onto there and you can find who produced this match and you can just go off.
And then tweet at them.
Yes, angrily. Angrily tweeting at a match agent is like
tons of caps
thing. So many caps.
Well, and then tag us.
I'll tell you something that is not cap.
Oh,
no cap with NordVPN. That's what I'll tell you about. Best VPN in the game. Wow. Nord. You want to maybe pay a little bit less for pay-per-views? You want it to protect all your devices? Well, darn it. NordVPN is here for you.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
NordVPN.com. Code Fightful will save you a ton of money on that.
Trust
one.
We
appreciate it. We got some super chats and humper chats that have come in. Thank you guys so much. Drinking at Moe's. Go support these guys. They're great. Saying, love myself some G.O.D. It was nice to see them in the ring today as a unit. Like, that's fun getting to see them alone. And Taylor Cannon, who's always great to us, saying, never saw G.O.D. on TV besides highlights on YouTube. I enjoyed them this evening. Well, there you go. They're really great. They've done some good work in New Japan. They'll do well here. Tama's kind of like the gutsier one, and Tangelo will definitely play his role super well. Super well, and I think all of this. DNC Digital with a good observation here, realizing they pulled off a show without matches from their bigger stars and some didn't even appear in front of a crowd. It's true. I think they were relying heavily on our main event segment, which we'll get to shortly, but we've got some more show to talk about. Thank you guys for the support. Keep those super chats and humper chats coming and keep those subscriptions to FightfulSelect.com fresh, because this is an enormous contract year. Natalya, Dijak, Ricochet, Chad Gable, Becky Lynch. That was like just this week. And Sean A loves that shit, which makes me happy for him. Like, he just loves contract news genuinely. But he's also on top of all of it. So stay tuned. There will also be AEW contracts. The release thing, but we're getting to the end of some cycles. Also, there's some New Japan contracts that are coming up too. So it's an ever-changing landscape, and especially the way TNA does contracts, those are just always chaotic. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this contract season if you're not a weirdo who demands wrestlers work in certain places.
Listen, let me just tell you something, guys. Like, you know, people want to work, people want to get paid. We should all be happy for having that this situation, because I just don't get it. I'm not going to get into it, but yeah, just let these people live and let them go where they want to go. And it's crazy that we have these talks about contracts, which is even nuts, right? Like, we're really involved in this. We love pro wrestling. And here we are talking about who's going where. Could they show up here? Could they show up there? And you're talking about the cycle. The five-year cycle is done at AEW. Yeah. That initial five-year contracts, the contracts that they were giving people, is done. So you're going to see a lot of movement coming from that end.
You are. The way that they let those go are usually pretty quiet. So will see. We will see. But we're moving along here to this Jade and Bianca segment where they're confronted by Indy Hartwell. We get a recap of Bianca and Jade retaining the women's title. Then we see them in the back. And Indy comes to complain about Candice LeRae being on the shelf. And Jade threatens to put Indy on the shelf right beside her. So we're going to get that next week, which is pretty good. We'll see how that goes. I think they're trying to get Jade some tag reps and some singles reps, because eventually she'll probably be a huge single star, right? So I think it's a wise way to build that out. But any thoughts on that before we move into our women's tag match?
No, not really. I do hope that we see a little bit more Jade. Like, I mentioned this last week or the week before. It's cool to see her mingle around in singles matches, you know, the way that they put her in those. But now that she's with someone, I kind of just hope that they don't keep that as a thing for the rest of her career here at WWE. Like, I want to see her branch off. You know, they know something. Maybe they know something that we don't. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that is her strong suit, maybe not, but whatever. Like, I want to see this woman just beat the crap out of everyone. That was my thing.
What you just said is why Naomi and Mercedes, then Sasha Banks, walked out of the company. There was nothing there for, or those circumstances happened to include it. I don't want to say that I know, because that's inaccurate.
Sure.
But the creative around it was similar kind of to this. I think this has a bit of a different purpose, but to your point, we got this tag match, and this is to support a singles program that's coming at Clash, right?
Yes.
So it's a continued thing, and it's in both divisions. So this isn't just like a women's only thing. We see this a lot of now we have Bayley and Naomi, who aren't really a tag team, but somewhat of an alliance, versus Piper, Niven, and Chelsea, who are a tag team, but we're leading toward Piper having a one with Bayley, or a singles match with Bayley. So that being said, this tag match was probably more fun than it had any right to be. Really fun in ring with this. Naomi is so great. She's a little vulnerable right now. They could really use her picking up some big wins, because she has taken a lot of losses.
Yeah.
They're strong losses. They're meaningful losses. But she kind of came back with all this gusto, and they haven't really put any momentum behind it. She's always showing out. That Heat Seeker is awesome. Her split leg and moonsault rules. She got a lot of really great shine in this. And Piper Niven, what do you even say? Like, just, she's so much fun. I can't wait to see her in singles action. And Chelsea is also kind of reminding you here that she can go in the ring. She's not just an incredible person.
Yes.
She can wrestle. But this ends with Naomi avoiding the Unprettier. She hits the rear view, which I hate as a finisher, but don't mind in a match. And Piper breaks it up with a senton on both of them, and she pulls Chelsea on top of Naomi for the win. I love that Piper's like, yeah, I'll take out Chelsea if it helps us get the win.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? But this, I thought, was more fun than I expected it to be for something that kind of like Bayley and Naomi, I thought, worked really well together, even though they're not technically a tag team. And all four of them, I feel like their exchanges all had some really good chemistry in this.
Yeah, I love how like good Chelsea is in the ring, from her mannerisms to her facial expressions to her wrestling. Yeah. You know, like, she's really good in there, and I'm such a big fan of hers. she has something going on here with Piper Niven. Like, she, even Piper, she's so good too. Like, she can go, man. And I love that for her. And whatever they're planning on moving into, you know, Clash of the Castle, whatever, it's well deserved, because she's had a weird start.
Yes.
WWE, and where she's at now is where she should have started when they first brought her in. You know,
yeah, that stuff with Eva Marie was so weird. They changed her name, and that was rough. That was some rough stuff, but she is a force to be reckoned with, and I am excited for her. But that leads us to our main event segment with AJ Styles, who comes out to address his future.
You don't want none. You don't.
Well, oh, God, that remix is so bad. The remix is so bad. It's so bad. Like, AEW has Mikey Ruckus right now. Just, like, banger after banger after banger.
Really?
And that Rebel is just, like, I hate to be so mean, but I'm like, it's like the Bugs Bunny episode where he's playing all the positions and it's like, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. 1, 2, 3. That is how much they are whiffing on these themes. Even the remixes, which are half done for you, but a different artistic challenge. I digress.
Bring back WWE metal.
There you go. But we have AJ Styles, who essentially says that he understands that Nick Aldis said he has to get to the back of the line if he wants a title shot, but he doesn't have that in him anymore. He's been in this game for 20 years. He was at his son's high school graduation, and he was reflecting about how many of those he's missed. He's out there, notably, in a blue pastel suit, which tells you this is a work. and then he says, man, if we have to do this one more time, shouts out the Bullet Club for a little too sweet action. He was like, let's do it the right way. Also indicative that this is a work, he didn't have a final match. But he says, if there is a match to go out on, it's the one he had with Cody Rhodes, because it was legitimately phenomenal, which I think is fair. A lot of people were suspecting if he would go back to TNA with the Jordan Grace appearance, because they have their 20th anniversary coming up, so they could do like a rent-a-wrestler situation to that. And AJ Styles, I like, so synonymous with the TNA Impact brand.
Yeah.
But then he calls out Cody Rhodes and wants him to join him out there, sign number 2 or 3 that it's a work.
it's Cody all Rhodes, pointing.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes comes out. It was well done. It's just, if you're watching this podcast, you probably watched enough wrestling to figure these things out by now. So, but Cody comes down and just says how much he's meant to wrestling, how much he's meant to the locker room. And then they go in for the hug. And wouldn't you know it, Alex, AJ Styles turns super hard heel on Cody Rhodes, which I don't hate. I don't hate him doing that, because his character did feel stale. And we've seen Cody just have like, okay, you have 2 weeks and you're facing AJ Styles. Okay, you have 3 weeks and you're facing Logan Paul. Like, running something back, getting him entrenched in something. Yeah, like, let's do something with some heat on it so that Cody's not trying to create stories out of thin air with such short builds between PLEs.
Sure.
And that match really was great. So I don't mind them running that back. I'm intrigued to see where this goes. But we have a lot of super chats that came in about this. Anthony Velasquez saying, I hate when baby faces are dumb. Apparently Cody doesn't know his history, because if he did, he would know Mark Henry did the exact same thing with Cena years ago. Yeah, we did just get out of this I'm a student of the game angle, and he was pretty ill-prepared for that. But that's also one of those things that you have to just, I think with wrestling, like, you have to believe that Cody thought it was sincere, not that he was unaware of Mark Henry. We suck as fans. We boo AJ for saying, I want to be a good dad. How dare he? Yes, there were heavy We Want Roman chants earlier in the night. And then notably here, he was like, I want to be there for my kids' graduations. And everyone was like, boo! We don't care about your family. Keep wrestling.
Yeah, how dare you, bastard.
Kim Gray saying that jacket might as well have been salmon colored. Read that coming a mile away. Yeah.
You know... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to clear out a couple of these chats.
Sure. No, thoughts, please. But yes.
Drink it at Mo saying, who did it better, AJ Styles or Mark Henry? At least I get to make my commentary debut in August. Well, congratulations.
Congrats, my bros.
Is a very fun time. The answer to that is Mark Henry, because Mark Henry doing it in such a legendary way let us know that this was making this a was few coming. Ways.
Yep.
And Will says, my theory is they do Roman versus Cody at SummerSlam, and that's when the Bloodline kill Roman so he can be gone for 3 months. We'll address that shortly, but let's first get your reactions to the AJ Styles segment. I thought it was well done. It's just, if you've seen the Mark Henry spot, you know this is fake. Like, that just is what it is, kind of.
The problem is, the minute I saw him walk into the office in a friggin', you know, his Sunday's best suit for Easter, I was just like, oh god, come on guys, you know, like, this is just coming from someone who's been watching wrestling for 30 years now, since I was, like, you know, taking seriously at 10 years old.
You were 1 year old, because we all know you're literally 31-year-old. Yeah,
you know, I've watched, like I mentioned before, I've always watched with my grandfather back in the day, Carlitos Colon and all that stuff. But as I got older, you start to understand things. This is part of understanding wrestling now. You knew it was coming. Now, the second problem is, the other reason why I knew this was super not going to go the way everyone thinks, oh no, he's retiring, is goddamn Cody crying in the ring. Every freaking time this
Cody's crybaby is a thing. Cody's a crybaby too.
Welts up, and you see it come in. I'm like, stop it. Leave this for your. I know you're now represented by TKO in your acting career. I understand that, and you're trying to push it on here in the ring. It just doesn't work. It just felt right there and then when he started crying, and then started raising his hand. I said, all right. When are the Good Brothers going to come in and whip some ass? Or when is AJ going to, well, WWE doesn't really do this a lot, but kick him in the balls, you know? So it just comes with the years. And I wasn't on Twitter. I wasn't on Threads. I wasn't anywhere because I didn't want to, like, mess anything up for anyone or be the Debbie Downer, right? Or be that one guy that always needs to know everything, right? I just kind of just sat here and I was like, I started laughing. I was like, God damn, Cody, why are you crying?
I like this from Will saying, to be fair, Cody is a Sting fan and he always got turned on WCW. Sting is the most turned on wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
Which you back on for Fightful. But yes, I enjoy that. Well played. The Sting legacy continuing through Cody in that regard. But that was our go-home segment. How do you feel about them running it back? Because I felt like the match was
fantastic. Can I just say something? Incredible body control by AJ Styles, having him up on the staircase there, about to Styles clash him, and Cody, like, wailing his arms like an inflatable doll and not setting himself up.
Inflatable arm flailing too, man. Yep.
There you go. You said it best. Not setting up his arms the right way, you know, in the beginning, and AJ just brunting the whole thing. You know, kind of helping him before killing him, you know, so let him run it back. Even this feud here with AJ, it has to be a bloody fight. It has to be a bloody fight, because then it's going to fall again on deaf ears. It's just another thing that, you know, Cody's not losing the belt and you're just going to be. And again, I don't want to be that guy, but it's just going to feel that way. And I don't want to feel that way. I want to feel like anger towards AJ for trying to beat up Cody, my American hero.
I think having this hard heel turn is a good thing. Like, I think AJ needed it, and the first match was so good that I'm like, and I've been waiting for them to build something out with Cody that has some heat on it. This will have some heat on it now. I'm assuming going into Clash at the Castle, which isn't bad. I'll take
also
it.
Nick Aldis has to be pissed, so I can't wait to see what this next Friday's gonna bring.
Nick Aldis has been so fantastic.
He's going to be so pissed. He has to come at him. He has to come at him really strong.
I mean, there's a TNA matchup for you if you've ever seen one. Nick Aldis and AJ Styles. Yes. The send off to AJ Styles was from Nick Aldis. So
there it is. That'll play, especially if TNA and them are in good hands. They'll use that footage. I guarantee you.
TNA's social media team.
Yeah. You said it here first, everyone.
Yeah. They're incredible, that team. So that's our show for tonight, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you have a safe and wonderful weekend. We'll be back at you next Friday. But before we get out of here, where can the people find you, Cardoza?
You can find me on getthatclavicle.com. Just kidding. You can find me on Instagram, Alexis Cardoza. And from there, you can hit the link in bio and see it. Check out all the projects and all the other great things that are happening around in my neck of the woods. I want to thank everyone here for always being so supportive, following me on everything, and just being so kind and loving and you know, in the midst of a world that sometimes feels like it's falling apart. Thoroughly enjoy just being able to hear your good voices. And hey, it's the end of May. We're going into June. Half of the year is already done. Let's get rocking. Oh,
what? He's saying that John Moxley will defend his IWGP title against Evil at Dominion in a lumberjack match. That's a lumberjack.
This man loves pain.
Do you know what pain is? Having to sit through an Evil match. I am so sick of House of Torture. House of Borcher. Evil.
That's a t-shirt.
The worst.
Show them how you show them how you throw up again. Oh, God, it's all over the screen.
Well, that just God, ruined my weekend.
The but sound effects are just...
I don't know what that was. It's not great. Not great. My weekend is ruined now because of that, but I hope you guys all have a wonderful weekend. You can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can catch me here on the main channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday doing your NXT ROH, joined by SP3 starting next week, and nice. SmackDown post shows, and on Select every Monday and most Saturdays. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful wrestling weekend. We're out of here.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.